That one went sizzling off into the stands, and just hope everybody's okay. Almora is...
Everybody's shaking.
Yeah, it hit a young child, and so Almora is really shaken up right there, and I mean, he saw it, so...
Yeah, no, I mean, and the players, you can see everybody across the way. It's obviously the nets have been extended as far as anywhere in baseball.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
.940 That was a Cubs Astros.
Cubs Astros.
Yep. Look, we've seen way too much of this. The real eye opener, I think, for a lot of people was Brian Gumbel and a piece that was done on Real Sports. Had to be 2 years ago now. Where he brought back 5, 6, 7, 8 people who had been injured to seriously injured to severely injured by foul balls.
Yeah.
Showing the point counterpoint of how they do baseball in Japan and how Japanese baseball is a fully netted enclosure, if you will, and no fans are in danger. We live in a world where people are way too attached to their phones. And because of the pace of baseball and the opportunity to have conversations and not paying attention at a time when athletes are bigger and stronger, and the ball is flying faster and harder, frankly, than I think it ever has, you get these kind of dangerous situations. So, can politics help? Well, you guys ought to help something, Senator. How are you?
I'm great, Steve. How you doing?
Senator Durbin joins us now. I don't know if you heard on the intro, but the Brian Gumbel Real Sports piece was a real eye-opener
in
regards to how this is handled. The White Sox, got to give the White Sox credit for stepping up here, but where's the rest of Major League Baseball, and what can you guys do to help?
Well, Jerry Reinsdorf does deserve plaudits for it, and I never spoke to him about it personally. I wrote a letter to Major League Baseball a couple of years ago saying you ought to extend the nets. They called me back and said, Senator, MLB is all for it. It's the individual clubs that have to make the decision. Well, Jerry was one of the first on behalf of the White Sox. We're now up to, I believe, 5 teams that are moving seriously in that direction. Pittsburgh Pirates just announced in the last few days they were joining the group as well. You know, when it gets down to it, if you look at the history of sports and spectators, National Hockey League is instructive. In the 1940s, they used chicken wire around their games.
Right.
And, you know, there was limited protection. Then they reached a point where they had plexiglass, and then after a spectator in Columbus was killed about 15 years ago, they ended up extending netting beyond that. So, you know, the bottom line is the safety of the spectator should be number one. God forbid someone is killed with a line drive foul at a Major League Baseball park. The conversation will change overnight if that happens. But terrible things happen. 1,800 fans are injured each year. Some
is that
seriously.
Right?
And this is unacceptable. The most expensive seats in baseball years ago and still to this day are behind the net. Who complains? Like nobody. You know, and the fact is they've done it, as you mentioned, in Japan. We should do it here.
Texter writes, I was at a game last week that the previous year did not have a net in front of us. We watched a game through the net, barely noticed a difference.
Well, of course, and you know, let's have a contest. Let's find out who can have the most translucent, whatever the word
sure.
is, netting. Is it going to be the black net we see today, or is it going to be something even better? We're pretty ingenious people. I think we can come up with something.
Well, and again, the Japanese, who are baseball crazy, have been doing full park netting for years. It has to happen. And I, the thing I'm confused about, Senator Durbin, is why the teams haven't jumped on this before now. Because the various settlements they've had to pay out, even though most clubs will say, hey, look at the back of your ticket. You agree to a risk to, and you agree to hold us harmless. But we know they're paying some settlements out when people get hurt. And the idea, and we've also heard people say, well, don't take your kids to the game if you're going to sit in foul ball areas. It's a ridiculous notion.
That's crazy. As Gumbel pointed, made clear in his Real Sports segment there, even if you are forewarned that a ball is coming to you, there is absolutely no reaction time for the average person, let alone a ball player in a similar circumstance, to put a hand up or to catch the ball if you happen to be that skilled. It just doesn't work at 100 miles an hour plus coming right at you. You're a sitting duck, and bad enough that you're a sitting duck, but how about those ducklings that you brought in for their first big baseball game? You don't want them to be taken out by an ambulance.
So the dollar part of this, why aren't teams more likely just to say, yeah, we're in, let's do it?
I don't know the answer to that. you know, it seemed to me to be the obvious thing, and maybe they're just afraid of a backlash. You know, if you go to a fan now that doesn't have a net in front of them and never perceives it as a personal problem and said, how would you like a net? You know what they're going to say. Heck no. You know, leave it the way it is. I want to be able to see those players. But they extended the nets within the last couple of years beyond the dugouts or right near the dugouts, and I didn't hear a peep. You know, right. People didn't notice. I think, frankly, just do it. And you're going to find out that the fan base is going to accept it as part of going to a baseball game.
And again, good for the White Sox for starting this role. So Major League Baseball said, yes, we want to do it, but it's up to the clubs. That's where they left it?
Yes. They've encouraged it for years, according to the reports I have, and they've left it up to the owners to decide. If enough of them start the momentum toward this, then those that don't run the real risk that an injured spectator, an injured fan, God forbid an injured child, is going to force them into an overnight decision.
Let me shift gears with you a couple things. We went debate crazy in the last 2 weeks, and as I said throughout the morning, I think there's a ridiculous amount of focus on 2020 when there's a lot of other things we ought to be talking about right now. Having said that, there was an abject panic that gripped the Democratic nation last week because Joe Biden had an off night and Kamala Harris, frankly, in my opinion, look, people are going to disagree, but I thought she cheap shotted him. She knows full well that he's not a racist. She stipulated that he's not a racist and then proceeded to point out that he was acting like a racist. And CNN and MSNBC have been running with it now for days. You know Joe Biden.
I do.
What does the public need to know about him? And by the way, this is not to advocate you vote for him, but let's just get the truth on the table. What you had to do in the 70s and people you had to talk to might be different now, but his point is you got to talk to people you don't agree with.
Well, you know, what we saw in the last week with the debating was kind of a speed dating arrangement. We'll give you 5 minutes of national TV time, make an impression. And some did. Some made a very positive impression, others negative. And when the exchange between Kamala and Joe Biden got the most attention because he's a front runner. And she was very skilled. I analyzed it later, and I thought to myself, she waited for the first opening. She said, I'm the only African-American on the stage. I should have a right to reply. And who's going to dispute that?
Right.
So then she has a flat-out 60 seconds, and she says, I know you're not a racist. I know you're trying to find ways to work toward common good and agreement, but here's something you did that hurt me personally. It goes on to tell a story of being a student who was bused to school at a time when he was in a very heated national debate, took the position there shouldn't be a national busing policy. It ought to be local. Well, that, you know, that is a good debate topic, but here's the bottom line, Steve, that you're pointing toward, and I want to just say flat out, I've known this man for a long, long time. Joe Biden is the most caring person I've ever met in public life, and I say that advisedly because I know some real kind and caring people in both political parties, but he is the most caring person, and to say otherwise is just not true. Secondly, he came to the United States Senate and bragged about for years because of civil rights. Delaware, you think of as a northern state, one of the last lynchings in America was in the state of Delaware. The southern end of Delaware is the South, and he took on that issue in Delaware and won as the youngest elected to the Senate maybe ever, and deserves credit for it. Over the years, he got embroiled in this debate on busing, which was as divisive then as immigration is now, and he took what he considered to be a principled, reasonable view. I'm not going to question it. I wasn't around to be part of that debate. When it comes to sitting down with people across the table who you wouldn't buy a cup of coffee with or invite over to your home, I do it every day because I realize that if we're going to get anything done, we've got to have people with dramatically different points of view who are willing to try to find some common ground. That's part of life, and it's certainly part of politics.
I just don't understand, and this is the old man part of the conversation. Please join in, and I'll pour you some Country Time lemonade. You see this all the time with somebody who sent out tweets 10 years ago, or there was something on social media, or even on an email 20 years ago. We're talking about 40 to 50 years ago. Kamala Harris is entitled to her position as a black woman and how she feels about race relations today. It doesn't apply to the world that existed in 1975, 6, 4, 3, 2, whatever it was. You can't have that sort of fake equality.
It's a fact. What you said, reflects the human experience. If you don't, I happen to belong to a religion which buys into this first and foremost. I believe in redemption. I think personally, politically, people can change for the better. And I hope that I'm counted in that category because I've sure made my mistakes in the past. But the point is, you know, if you don't believe in that and you just want to absolutely dismiss a person forever and ever, amen, because of something said or done many, many years ago, it's a heck of a standard to be forced to live by yourself. You know, to be more open to redemption, in my mind, is to accept the human condition. We all make mistakes.
By the way, in case anybody missed the memo, the only black president in American history picked him twice.
He did, and I had a meeting with Barack, an informal, personal meeting last week. We talked about a lot of things and talked about Joe, and he still stands by that decision as the right one and the best one for the country, and they developed a close personal relationship during the course of those 8 years.
I'll let you go on this unless you have something else you want to add in, but I was really troubled, angry, big surprise, when I saw Donald Trump, the president of the United States, step into North Korea, let alone all the glad handing he did for the dictators in his big dictator five-day getaway. It's a big deal that we have the first American president stepping into North Korea, and it's not a big deal because something positive has happened because of it. We have no reason to trust this guy. I'm talking about Kim Jong-un, and nothing has changed since he did that. If I'm wrong, tell me.
Someone observed, and I read with all the stuff that passes by me during the course of a day, that the President of the United States left the United States, a country that people can't wait to get into, to visit the dictator of North Korea, a country which people can't wait to get out of, and took this little jaunt for 10 or 20 steps, whatever it was, into Northern Korea across the DMZ. Bottom line, I'm glad they're talking. It's better than shooting at one another. In reality, nothing has happened here. It was a photo opportunity. We haven't seen any progress, none, in the last 2.5 years when it comes to North Korea, other than this conversation. But it doesn't, in and of itself, you know, show great progress toward our goal of denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula. So I just leave it at that. It was a photo op and nothing more.
All right, and enjoy your day. Thank you for the information. I always appreciate the access, you know that, and I hope we can see you in studio sometime soon. And please,
Happy 4th of July.
You as well, and please tell Bernie Sanders to stop yelling at us.
Bernie never changes.
All the best. Thank you, Senator.
See you. Bye-bye.